You weren't inundated with thoughts about what today might bring?
No.
No. Why not?
I feel confident today.
You feel confident today?
I'm going home today.
You're going home today?
Yeah, for good.
Going home for good.
Good.
What makes you believe that?
I have faith.
That was so sweet to hear. So that's George Kelly. Now, we told you about him on this show. He is a 75-year-old man who was put on trial for allegedly, as the prosecutors were trying to frame him for, shot and killed, and they call it a migrant, but ultimately it was a drug smuggler, on his property. So, well, how did this end for the prosecutors? Well, not well, of course. It ended yesterday in a mistrial, and things are starting to look up for Mr. George Kelly, and we are so happy about that. But I want to bring in a guest who followed his trial and was in the courtroom when it was getting very, very heated. So joining us now is Wid Lyman. He is one of the great reporters over at BorderHawk.news. Wid, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Brianna, good to talk to you again. Thank you.
Well, we're so excited to hear that this ended in a mistrial, but it sounds like, according to reports, this was a toss-up, actually, because only one person was holding out of just not turning in a not guilty verdict. What are you hearing took place in that courtroom yesterday?
So on Friday of last week, the jury notified the judge that they were pretty much at an impasse at that time. And both parties involved, the state and defense, said, go back, take the weekend, come back Monday and deliberate. They deliberated for most of Monday, and they came back with the same resolution. We're at an impasse. We're not going to reach a verdict. We don't think it's going to happen. The judge gave them impasse instructions and dismissed the jury and then declared a mistrial at that time. Now, the state and defense can go and interview the jury, and they did that. And one of the defense attorneys, Ms. Lothorpe, came out and said 7-1 voting for acquittal, which is not the best indication for the state, right? A great indication for Mr. Kelly and his team, but not a good indication for the state. So one person was unable to vote for a guilty verdict on any of the charges, Brianna. So he had a second degree murder charge. He had an aggravated assault charge. They had lesser charges of, lesser than the second degree. They had some other options in terms of manslaughter, and they still couldn't convict him of any of those things. So the verdict came back as a mistrial at this time. The state has about a week to decide whether or not it wants to retry the case. Now, as you know, this case took about 3 weeks for the state to do their part, and then a day and a half for the defense. So they have about a week to decide whether or not to move forward with another trial.
And I think it's so interesting because, well, he wasn't arguing self-defense. He was arguing in regards to the shooting itself. Now, I know you talked about it on this show a little bit. I want you, just in case our audience didn't get that glimpse of what happened in the courtroom, I want you to go back and describe what exactly they were arguing, because there were no casings from the gunfire they were saying went off, and they couldn't find, I believe it was a bullet, and they were trying to make all these arguments that Mr. Kelly was the one who shot and killed this man, but they actually couldn't prove it. So tell us about that.
That's correct. They were not able to prove what they were alleging in this case. So January of last year, Mr. Kelly is alleged to have shot and killed Gabriel Quen Butamea, who is a Mexican national found on his property dead of a single gunshot wound. He was also charged with aggravated assault of Daniel Ramirez, who is a Honduran living in Mexico at the time. And as you alluded to in their open, what were these people doing on his property? Mr. Butamea was found with binoculars, a radio, a small backpack, wearing camouflage and other concealing garments, military style boots kind of used in that area. So, what was he doing on the property? The defense alleges that he was there doing something nefarious and not pursuing the, American dream, which is what a lot of people kind of has said. And then Daniel Ramirez, who also was supposedly on his property at the time, he claims to have been shot at, and he claims that he was just looking for a better life as well. But he has prior convictions of drug smuggling. He has 10 plus deportations under his belt already. So these two people were, on the property at the time, allegedly. One of them was found dead. And the state was trying to say that Mr. Kelly shot and killed this man. But again, as you pointed out, they were not able to prove this. And a 7-1 not guilty vote is certainly far away from getting what they desired in this case.
Yeah, I think it was obvious that the jury wasn't going to swing towards the prosecutors and all of this, because it was ultimately a case that they really weren't able to prove. And it was very, very obvious. I believe initially he was charged with first degree murder, and then the judge was the one who bumped it down to second. Is that correct?
Yes, that is entirely correct. That came up during the trial. One of the lead prosecutors interviewed Mr. Kelly the night of the incident and, you know, immediately said, all right, we're going to arrest you for first degree murder. And the defense attacked him for that. So what evidence do you have for first degree murder, which is the highest charge, you know, in our judicial system? So they certainly jumped the gun on that one. The $1 million bond that was put up for him as well, or posted for him, that was a huge national story as well. So it's very obvious to me, having followed every moment of this trial, that the state was going after Mr. Kelly. And the defense alluded to this in their closing, where they really singled him out. They did not investigate other options very well. And they had thin physical evidence. As you noted, no bullet was found. They were unable to trace it to any firearm belonging to Mr. Kelly. And that in the end sort of sunk their ship, right? The jury was not on their team in terms of putting together all of the other evidence.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, because I say that Mr. Kelly shouldn't have been put on trial at all, right? If anyone should have been put on trial, it should have been our government for failing to protect Mr. Kelly from these invaders who are constantly coming into his farm, his land, and invading. And he doesn't know who these people are. There's a lot of drug smuggling in the area. We know that they took the jury to his home to kind of look around the property and feel it out for themselves so they could understand just from the perspective of what he had to go through. Ultimately, though, he's called Border Patrol on several occasions, flagging the fact that drug smugglers were on his property and they weren't able to do anything to protect him. And that's one of the, I think, most jarring parts in all of this, that our federal government, their only obligation is to protect the American people. And Mr. Kelly is proof that they didn't. And if you decide to try to, and this, he doesn't even acknowledge this part, but if you decide to try to prosecute them for defending themselves in their homeland, what happens? Well, you'll be put on trial and they will go after you and drain you financially. And for a 75-year-old man, gosh, I could only imagine health-wise what this does to his health, because yeah, he's walking around and he's able to walk around, but he doesn't look like he's 100% healthy. What did you hear anything regarding his health conditions? Has deteriorated since his arrest? Because this weighs a lot on people's minds and this does cause health issues.
I don't know how it wouldn't impact him in some way. I mean, even, you know, the way he moves and the way he's walking and talking, I mean, he's obviously doing very well. But like you said, how does a year and a half process being with the thought of being put in prison the rest of your life, being charged with a very serious crime, I mean, how does that not impact you from a stress perspective? You know, Mrs. Kelly actually testified in this case and she acknowledged, it's been hell. It's been so hard for them going forwards. And they're hoping to have all this done and put behind them. You know, we're still in a bit of limbo here for the next week, but this has to weigh on anyone. And you're also correct about the role of the federal government in this. You know, we talked to other ranchers on the border and they say similar stories that Mr. Kelly talks about. Lots of people crossing, whether it be family units, single adults, drug runners. You know, Mr. Kelly, stated during the investigation that he saw rifles. He has seen rifles in the past. You know, we've had endless issues along the border. And this is the reality for some of these Arizona ranchers out in kind of the outback, either hundreds or thousands of acres that they have. You know, this is their reality day in and day out. And it is a total failure of the federal government to protect these people, U.S. citizens in this case, from these threats and these advances and people just going across your property in general. I mean, the other rancher that we talked to, Brianna, he's had 500,000 encounters on his property over the last two decades. I mean, that is a staggering amount of people. Just one person walking across your property that you don't know is too much.
Yeah. Yeah, it is too much. And they shouldn't have to endure any of this. The government's only obligation is to protect the American people, and they're intentionally failing to do so. I guess we'll wait to see if the state continues to prosecute Mr. Kelly. I just guess just from the numbers alone, they don't see this as being favorable, but they love wasting taxpayer money. So we never can really tell. Whit Lyman, thank you for joining us. I love all the work that you guys are doing over at Border Hawk News. So it's borderhawk.news for our folks at home who are looking to stay up to date with everything that's going on right now at our southern border. It's very, very interesting, and I highly recommend you do. Whit, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us, and thank you for covering the story.
Thank you. I just finished unpacking my latest MyPillow order, and guys, it is incredible. I just stocked up on the new MyPillow 2.0 line, and let me tell you something, when it's the MyPillow I'm using 2.0, or if it's the Giza bed sheets, I'm sleeping like a baby these days. And it's just not my sleep that's improving. Gia and Giuseppe, their sleep's improving on the MyPillow dog beds. They are loving them. I literally can't get Gia off of it because she's obsessed with it. My best friend Allie, I gifted her the new MyPillow slippers, and she can't take them off her feet these days. She says it feels like she's walking on clouds, especially after working in heels all day long. So if you're interested in improving the quality of life right now, you gotta head over to MyPillow.com. And if you wanna secure up to 66% off, make sure you type in Brianna, that's B-R-E-A-N-N-A. You gotta head there now. They're going to sell out quickly, and you gotta get your hands on these new products. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.